Hi, everybody. Welcome back. It is so good to sort of see you. I'm sure you'll all be in the chat talking about what we're going to be discussing on today's show. I'm your host, Amal Epinobi, and this is Unapologetic Live. If you are a stranger to this show, let me fill you in on how I feel about all this leftist, woke, dogma garbage that is happening right now in our country. If you could guess, I'm opposed. Not a big fan at all, especially when it comes to things like diversity, equity, and inclusion, and all this affirmative action, hiring, and processes that we're going through right now in this country. Why? Because I don't think your race or your gender has anything to do with your merit, your quality, your character, your academic standing, or anything for that matter. Yet we are now living in a nation where it's the most important thing, your race and your gender. And that dictates how successful you are in life. It dictates the opportunities that people give to you. And it dictates your future in a lot of ways. Now, we have a guest on the show today who's going to highlight this reality more so than ever. His name is Tyler Fisher, and he's a comedian that I'm familiar with because I've seen his videos on the internet. They can be a little controversial. He might be a little bit more on our end of the spectrum when it comes to his political views and looking at all the other woke stuff that's happening in the world right now, and some people don't like that. Tyler Fisher also has the burden of being a white male. Tyler, thank you so much for being on the show today.
What?
White male?
How has life been? Yeah, it's horrible. Honestly, I feel like you even being here is oppressing me, so you should apologize.
Well, first of all, I am a lesbian this morning, and I think my manager updated you on that. And he shouldn't have to. You should just know.
I should just feel it. Oh, no. My apologies.
That'll be the next thing, right? It'll be mind reading. He didn't just guess my gender and identity. But no, thank you for having me.
Of course. Any time, especially with a story like this. Yeah, I'll be very interested to see what the next thing is when it comes to wokeness. Right now, it's race and gender. Who knows what's next? It might just be mind reading and wanting to know everybody's gender before they even introduce themselves. Now, you've had a recent run-in with wokeness and specifically this affirmative action hiring problem that we're having right now with an agency with the acronym AGI. I want to let you
fill me in on everything that happened. They identify as a talent manager, not an agency, okay?
Oh, so sorry.
I don't want this lawsuit to come back and hit me.
Yeah.
No one knows
so
the difference,
So let's get into that.
Yeah. Sure.
Nobody knows that. I certainly do not know the difference. In layman's terms, okay, guys, talent manager, AGI, and you are coming after them, as you said, with a lawsuit. But before we get to that, let's fill everybody in on the story. What's happened with you, Tyler, and AGI?
Yeah, I mean, I can just kind of give you a background. I've been acting for 17 years. Classically trained in college, went on to do theater, film, television, and it feels like 15 years ago when I really got into it, when I moved to New York and started this journey, that was not as present. It was probably just bubbling up, right? We weren't the equity, this new, you know, equity obsession. It was bubbling, but I got about 4 years where I was not worried about that stuff. And I was kicking butt, you know. I was auditioning, you know, 5 times a day. I was had an agent, manager, doing theater, stand-up, all that stuff. And so thank God I had this foundation where it didn't really affect me, right? I wasn't self-conscious about it. Slowly, you just saw the tide turning. And occasionally they'd say, you know, I don't think they're looking for white people for this or you know, if you were maybe a different something, you can get it. And people just started kind of going, is this okay? But nobody was really speaking up about it. And then I lost an offer to do a podcast. It was a friend of mine, happens to be a lesbian. I don't care. And she said, I'd love to have you on the podcast, big podcast. And this was right around, like the BLM second wave, George Floyd stuff. And she texted me and she said, I'm sorry, Tyler, I can no longer have a white man on the show. And I just like,
really?
I was just crying inside. I can't show my emotions as a cis male. And then it happened again. Another friend happens to be, you know, an Indian guy and said, can't have you on because you're white. We're not doing whites right now. And I'm just like, what is going on? I had already got fired from an acting agent who emailed me, and I said, "What's going on?" And these are people that reach out to me. I worked with somebody that managed Jim Carrey. I mean, I'm a good comedian. I worked my butt off, and I said, "Why no auditions?" You know, and he just emailed me and he wrote, "Tough out there for white dudes." I have the email. Tough out there for white dudes, and then not long after, removed me from the roster. And I had a complete mental breakdown. I'm just thinking, how is this happening, and how are people so comfortable talking about it? So I quit acting for 3 years after that, because I'd given it, you know, 15 years. I go, if I can't do this in 15 years, started making my own videos, grew my following. This AGI reached out to me and said, "Hey, you know, why aren't you on SNL? Why aren't you a star? All this stuff." And they said, "You know, we really want to work with you." They went silent for a few months, and they said, "We want to give you a call." So I'm like, "All right, here we go." You know that I lost 3 years, but this is, you know, this happens to everybody. Back in the fight. Mm-hmm. They said, "We love you. We love everything about you. We know you're a star. We're not taking white men." And I just lost, it was such a, I'm a comedian. I try to make funny. Like, there's nothing funny about it. I just felt like I got hit by a train. I cried, you know, like, I'm not exempt from all the human emotions. Right. And it wasn't about like, "Oh, I didn't get this acting job, or I deserve that." I don't go down that road. This was, we don't think you're allowed to even compete in the pool of people to get jobs. And when you're at that point with people with this much power, it was like, "All right, I'm out. I'm on my own now."
It's crazy. And they would never accept that for any other race or any other minority group, is what we call that nowadays. It would never be accepted. But because you are a white male, it's somehow acceptable to do that. And for me, I went through this journey of being a really super woke BLM leftist to going, "Oh, no, I don't agree with that anymore." And much of it was surrounding situations like yours, of hearing just blatant racism towards white people and going, "Wait a second. I thought we were the tolerant ones. I thought we were the anti-racist ones." And I imagine for you, that has to be a really emotional moment, going through all these years of putting in the work, of being judged based on your talent, to suddenly have that stripped away from you in more times than one. And now you decided, you know, "I'm not going to back out. I'm not going to step away from doing what I love. I'm going to come after them." So what is that looking like for you?
Sure. So step one was, you know, crush the dream. I mean, I really, because, you know, to be an actor or anybody or what you're doing, it's like you're living on hope, you know? Money doesn't come in. 99% of actors and comedians will not make a living, and they won't make money. You have to love it more than anything. So to me, it was like, okay, when the hope is gone, because they're now telling you out loud, this is the way it is. It's equity. It's equal outcome. And now, so we're going to have to place people in the positions. I had to actually mourn the dream, you know, and I worked with a therapist. I'm in a men's group. I mean, I had to do a lot of emotional work to go, "All right, this is dead. It's on me now. I'm not going to quit." So I decided I am going to make videos every day. I'm going to start a podcast. I'm going to build a fan base if that's in the cards before I pursue a lawsuit. Because as you know, also, victimhood is a billion-dollar business now.
Yes, it's currency, baby.
Yeah, and I knew I'd get attacked for that. "Oh, he failed, so he's just coming after him." So I sort of had an amount of money in my head that I wanted to make and a following. And once I reached that point when I go, "Okay, I can actually give the dream up. And if I go for this, I may never get a manager again. I may never get an agent. I might not be allowed in comedy clubs." When I'm at that point, then I'll get a lawyer and pursue the lawsuit. And that's exactly what happened. And we did that about 2 months ago.
And I think luckily it was in this New York Post article that you have this on recording. You have the actual documentation of them saying exactly this to you. It's because you're white.
Yeah, I think the New York...
Unbelievable.
I think the Post actually put the recording in the write-up, the online write-up. So I think that's available for anybody to listen to. And
okay, well, we might just edit that in for you guys to hear as well, because you need to hear it from the horse's mouth sometimes, don't you?
And what's funny is, some people go, well, why isn't the whole recording on there? I said, because I didn't think this was going to happen. I hit record when it went south, and and I had him repeat it. Now I started recording. I said, you love me? Yep. You think I'm a star? Yep. The only reason you won't work with me is because of my skin color. Yep. Is this company policy? Yep. And that's all on the tape.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's almost like you shouldn't have to account for somebody being racist towards you in a hiring process to the people who are saying that. Now, you are going through with this lawsuit. I'm curious if you have any information from behind the scenes of, like, what are the odds that this goes in your favor and that you're actually heard out in this case and they side with you?
You know, I don't know. I don't know. My lawyer's wonderful, and he, you know, he's just said, because here's the thing. I was also a pretty brainwashed leftist, everything, you know. I mean, I grew up in a gay household. I've been going to pride parades. I've been fighting everybody else I've been fighting for. And I realized, why am I exempt from that? You know, aren't I included in that? So he just said, you know, the only thing is we haven't seen lawsuits like this, and that's new. But to me, it's like, well, you don't. If somebody murders you with a banana, the lawyer's not going to go, well, you were murdered. They were murdered with a banana. We've never seen. It's like, no, it's still a murder. So I just have to keep it simple. This is discrimination. It's everybody's covered under the law, and you know, he basically said it comes down to the jury, and humans are dumb, and so we don't. You know, it's like. Yeah. That's what it comes down to. But for me, getting this out there is far more important. You know, of course, there were damages done, like a whole slew of things. But I've got a great lawyer, and the support. It's 99% support. You know, on Twitter, on it, whenever I've posted about it. Again, you have to be careful. It's that 1% of loud. You know, woke people who just want to destroy everybody. Mm-hmm. And so it's good to just stay. Don't get distracted by that. Just stay. Keep it simple. Keep it straightforward.
Well, just to clear the air, let's take on that 1% really quickly. Tyler, you are a white cisgendered male. You're supposed to be an ally. Sorry. You're supposed to take the white privilege that you got when you were born and give it off to other people. Why not let a person of color take that job opportunity, Tyler?
Sure. Well, because I happen to believe that each person has their own individual story, and you never know what somebody went through. When I was a kid, one of my best friends was black. We didn't talk about our race. All we did, we put our arms next up to each other, and we go, when we called ourselves an Oreo cookie. That was the extent of it, right? I wanted to be that kid so bad. His grandfather was the chief of police, so our police department was run by a black family. I thought he was cool, right? And then in my house, my dad came out of the closet when I was 7. I got bullied. I was the tiniest kid in the class. I got beat up. My mom became suicidal. I started taking care of my mom when I was 7. You don't know what's going on in somebody's life. And so, as you know, you cannot play the identity politics thing. You cannot. It's so – we're going back to the Salem witch trials. It's – if you break everything down to an individual this all shatters. And so I try to keep it, you know, in that light. But I am sorry. Whoever I hurt.
You sound like a fringe conspiracy theorist to me, Tyler. And I actually do want to talk about this because you've been no stranger to the comedy space. You're no stranger to stepping into the controversial topics in the videos that we make. And we'll show the audience some of those videos here and now. What has that been like for you? What has the response been? I know you mentioned before the interview, you've been banned off of things like TikTok, and I'm sure other social media platforms you've experienced that. What has it been like stepping to the controversial space of comedy?
Well, I gotta stay the course here because it's like, you know, I'm a big Jordan Peterson fan, and I remember someone asked why he's controversial, and it's like, well, I'm not controversial. I'm only controversial as far as people find me controversial. It's like clean your damn room. It's like clean your room.
Solid impression. Solid.
Like eat a lobster and clean your damn room. Get your life together. So, you know, I agree with Jordan. I don't think I'm controversial, right? I do a comedy show for 100 people.
Yeah.
And each person will find something funny, and each person will find a, if I do 100 jokes, each person will find a different joke funny, each person will find a different joke offensive. You know, I have fans walk out of my shows, right? I had a table of eight, a family of eight black people walk out of my show, and someone goes, oh, because you talked about the race thing? I said, no, they walked out because I had a joke about a priest pedophile joke. You know, so...
Yeah,
it's really just the censorship that makes people think it's controversial, and it's so sad to see comedians start to craft their jokes now, and they go, what is TikTok? What's going on this week? What can I talk about? What can I post? The great George Carlin documentary out right now, and that's what he dealt with. He was getting canceled for using bad words, and the same thing is happening now. My friend looked at me, goes, how terrible. Back then, you couldn't say words. I said, dude, your TikTok just got taken down because you had a picture of a gun. Now it's not words, it's topics, right? So under the umbrella of a topic, yep. Now there's thousands of words you can't say. So it's actually become far worse for comedians or anybody who wants to exercise free speech than it was when George Carlin was fighting for it.
Yeah, and it seems like that's something that I've noticed. I live in Los Angeles. There's a big comedy space out here in Los Angeles, and it seems like a lot of people are just, like, trepidatious about saying the things that they actually want to say, so much so that it's just being, like, comedy clones of the same people making the same jokes, representing the same ideology, and the people who disagree are too scared to come forth and say something. And I think you're right. It has totally gotten worse with time. How do you see the future of comedy progressing? Like, we've had these controversies like Dave Chappelle and his Netflix special. Ricky Gervais is going through that right now over the same issue, the same topic. Do you see this being sustainable? Do you see comedy dying? Do you see us overcoming this? What do you see
here? Well, it's a cultural divorce in that it's all – I'm doing the Jordan. It's like, you know, it's like it's all breaking apart. You know, it's like some people like the
chaos.
Like chaos and order. Can you tell I watched a lot of Jordan Peterson to grow it?
me too. I'm right there with you.
So it's hard to say, but essentially, yeah, it's broken down into you watch your podcast that you like, you see the comedian, you know, I'm now touring the country and I just put on my own shows, right? So instead of appeasing to a comedy club, I mean, I didn't get the vaccine, so I wasn't allowed to perform in New York anymore. And so I said, all right, I'll go to Florida, Texas. Right. So it's breaking apart, but ultimately money talks, and people aren't watching Netflix like they were. They're tuning out. I just did a movie with The Daily Wire with Gina Carano, which is coming out next month. Mm-hmm. They cast me from Instagram,
Amazing.
You know? So I think now that there's real competition and Daily Wire is going to be real competition for Netflix, people are just going to go to the places where they're hiring people based on talent. And that's what the Daily Wire is doing. You know, I think they just did three movies with three female leads. And they didn't say, we're doing this to make a point. They said, based on the scripts we got, these were the best movies. And then they'll take the best people for those roles. So I think the tide has turned. And it'd be a good time to start swimming with it for entertainers.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And we're seeing the market shift. And I think even if it doesn't, even if we weren't seeing the market shift in the wake of freedom of speech and people trying to follow those values, people still need to speak up. And I think, unfortunately, we're living in a world where not as many people are as brave as you are to come forth and say, this is the experience that I had. And not only am I going to talk about it, but I'm going to hold this talent manager accountable for what was said to me. And I'm going to hold them accountable for this discrimination. To close out here, Tyler, what is your message to people who are not yet there? They don't want to come forth with the things that they believe. They're a little bit too scared. They don't want to be canceled. They don't want to go through the repercussions that can come with being open about the way that they feel.
Yeah, well, I'd say one, it's not an overnight process. And I want to be very clear that the woke people pushed me out, right? I'm a very agreeable person, so I don't like this. This is the lawsuit, all this stuff keeps me up at night. It makes me sweat, but they pushed me so far that either I would have died on my own or I'd speak out. So find support, take it slow. Don't read the comments, But ultimately, what's more important to you, telling the truth and following your journey or tiptoeing along life? So I think it will pay off if you just commit to it. And like, that's all I'll say about that. So
beautiful. Don't go drinking any apple cider after this. We do the Jordan Peterson impression often on this show that people are just going to love that you've just brought that back for them. And I think you'll find, ladies and gentlemen, that when you come forth and you are open about the things you believe, however long it takes you to get there and to go through your own process, so many people are going to come out of the woodwork and go, you know, I felt the same way. I just didn't want to say anything because I didn't see anybody else do it. And now that you've done it, I want to support you. I want to back you. I want to come out and say the same things. And then the discussion grows. And as Jordan Peterson would say, dialogue is the avenue to truth. So start having these conversations. Yeah, exactly. So I know, Tyler, people are going to hear your interview today, hear your story and go, well, how can I support him now that he's come out and done something like this? What can people do to follow you and support you on the journey you're on right now?
Go to blacklivesmatter.com and just give them all your money. I'm shadow banned everywhere. So my Instagram is tythefish, F-T-Y the F-I-S-C-H. That's my handle everywhere. Subscribe on YouTube. I have a Patreon where my podcast, The Tyler Fisher Show, is on, and that's patreon.com/TylerTalks. And sign my email list at my website, and I'm touring the country and going wherever people tell me they live.
Amazing. So go meet brave and courageous people in person. Go see Tyler. Go see his comedy. I swear to you, he is brilliant. And I'm sure you've learned that through the duration of this interview. Tyler, thank you so much for giving your time, for doing what you're
doing.
Thank
you. And you inspired me to speak out. So thank you.
Thank you. Hey guys, did you enjoy that interview? I really enjoyed talking to Tyler because I feel like he's somebody who's not afraid to fight the good fight, even though it's hard, even though it's difficult. Sometimes we have to face those hard and difficult challenges in our life. So I always want to highlight the people who are doing that work and fighting the fight of the side that we are all on, hopefully, a side that's against discrimination, a side that is against this racist affirmative action hiring that we're seeing right now in more jobs than we should be. So if you guys like the content that we're creating, if you like Unapologetic Live and you want to support us in our endeavors to create that, you guys can donate to PragerU. And today's Memorial Day, a very special day, not just because it's Memorial Day, but because we have a very generous donor who, if you donate to PragerU, is going to match that donation to X, guys. So if you donate to us today, this matching ends today on Memorial Day. We would appreciate it more so than ever. And that donor, that generous donor, is going to match that for you guys. All the money that you give to PragerU goes towards the work that we are doing to fight the battles that need to be fought in our society today. So if you love the work we're doing and you want to support it in any way, shape, or form, you can do that by leaving a like, a comment, clicking the notification bell, and you can also do that monetarily by donating to PragerU. No donation is too small. No donation is too big. Thank you guys so much for watching. I can't wait to see you guys tomorrow for our live show at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. I'll see you guys then. And comment down below, are there any other guests and special individuals that you would like to see me interview on today's show? I love meeting new people. I love talking about their journeys and the work that they're doing. And I always love new guests. So comment that down below. Let me know who you want to see. And have a fantastic Memorial Day, guys. See you later.